nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to the news hour, the discussion hour of Nationwide on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And today, as we've just marked the 12th independence anniversary of the Republic of South Sudan, and we are starting our first discussion this week. I have in the studio today with me to look into the current political situation in the country and what is the way forward. I have with me in the studio the Deputy Chairperson of the SPLMIO and also the Deputy Speaker of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, that is Honourable Nathaniel Oyet. I'll be looking into the party's position and also views about what has been taking place. This comes as we have just interviewed here in the studio the Secretary General of the SPLM, that is the SPLM in government, Honourable Peter Lam. And today we are having the Deputy Chairman of the SPLMIO. Welcome, Honourable Nathaniel Oyet, into our studios.
Thank you very much.
Yes, this is 12 years into independence, and how do you feel about it?
Thank you. I feel very happy. I feel I'm in my own country. I feel the destiny of my country is in our own hands, and we are equal citizens. We must work for the prosperity of our people, and that should be the focus of the government of the day. And now, of course, peace and stability.
Yes, and as we are speaking here, we are into the implementation of the peace agreement, and we went into the roadmap, which was agreed by the signatories. And now, how do you look at the political situation in the country at the moment, especially after several months into the implementation of the roadmap?
The political situation in the country, I would want to describe it as stable, cordial, given the fact that from 2018 we have been working together as parties trying to implement the revitalized peace agreement. Even when we ended the 3 years of the transitional period, we again sat together as parties and developed the roadmap, which was our own initiative. Now we are in the middle of the duration of the roadmap, which was, of course, the extension of the transitional period by 2 years. And this duration, we are now at a critical junction in which we are left with only 1 year, actually. Others may count 16, 17 months, but to us that is actually 1 year. And the fact that also we have budget, national budget in the parliament, and the budget that we have now is the last budget that we would do, approve as a parliament. That means within 12 months of the financial year, which will end next year in June, we should really accomplish all the pending tasks which occasioned the roadmap or the extension of the revitalized peace agreement. By next year, June, we should have finished all the pending tasks and then prepare the country for elections. And elections is envisaged to come in December of next year, 2024. So this is the general overview of the political situation that we have.
Mm-hmm. You stated the time limits and also what needs to be achieved during this, and you are narrowing it to just 12 months of the remaining period into the implementation of the whole peace agreement, but also in the roadmap. What do you think are the key issues, given the whole agreement, but when you look into the roadmap, what do you think are the key issues which need the collaboration and working together of the stakeholders so that when the time comes for election, there will not be too much confusion or hiccups or misunderstanding?
Well, the key issues that we should be dealing with, one is the security of the nation is paramount for everything to take place. You remember the agreement has security arrangements where the forces are cantoned and part of them were trained, and also attempts to unify them is underway. But up to now, we have not yet completed that. There is work going on along that line. We have not yet deployed any force. Then also, of course, the second phase will also have to be, you know, committed to the training fields. Security arrangement, disarmament is also part of it. Our citizens should be disarmed such that law and order can prevail and people can live in peace and harmony. Another is, of course, the political process that sanctioned by the agreement. One of them is the permanent constitution-making process, which actually should be completed before you hold elections. And another one is the national population census, which should also be conducted prior to holding elections. And of course, you have the electoral process. You know, election is not an event where you can say, I will hold it in December. You have to prepare for it. The preparation should be now, or should start yesterday. These are critical matters mm-hmm. that we should be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of judicial reforms is also another critical matter. The independence of judiciary and the judges, the impartiality of the judges, including the Chief Justice, is very critical. You have reconciliation and healing for our people. The conflict that raged in the country destroyed the social fabric and also the good neighborliness and peaceful coexistence of our communities. So we have to work to mend that such that our people can live in peace. The reconstruction and recovery is also very key, including addressing the economic situation, which is biting our population. All these are key elements, political elements that we should be dealing with. Then, of course, elections will come last. Even in the agreement or in the roadmap comes elections to actually conclude the transitional period.
Mm-hmm.
So these are matters of concern that we should be dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that you should be dealing with. And the question comes, when it comes to all this agenda, is it an issue of what you should be dealing with or what you can actually achieve during this period? Because if you look into the situation, even the period, and you look into the climate in the country or even the geography in the country, like you mentioned the issue of census, for example, and most of the year the country is inaccessible and you have a window only of 5 months and 4 months to do that. Now we are into the rainy season. Do you think you can do it next year if you don't do it this year, this census?
Of course, the revitalized agreement as well as the roadmap which extended the transitional period is very clear. And I want also to note and recall the resolutions of the recent IGAD summit. Also the partners, including UNMISS, looking at the situation, they emphasize the benchmark for every activity, especially elections. And census is one of them. Permanent constitution is another. These are very critical matters that the parties and the government are going to should be dealing with. I really don't want to predict doom for the country that might be again the country will be submerged or we shall have a serious climatic condition in the country. But we should be optimistic to do what we are supposed to do towards the conclusion of the transitional period and the roadmap.
Mm-hmm. So you can say that it is possible to have census before election, even with the situation that is given in the country where you don't have really accessible areas in many of the years, of the months in the year?
It is possible to have census. Mm-hmm. If we can have census in 2008, what would prevent us to have census in 2023?
And you think there could be enough budget to do that?
Well,
according to what you are discussing now.
Well, you have brought a very important and pertinent issue. You know, the budget currently in the floor of Parliament is now under scrutiny. The first reading was tabled by the Minister of Finance, and then we committed the budget to the committees of the legislature. They have been scrutinizing the budget for the last 2-3 weeks now. The budget will be going to the cluster this week, where it will be discussed. But one key thing that we have noted already, which is of great and grave concern, is that the budget financial year 2023-2024 does not address the requirements of very key provisions of the roadmap, including the national elections. Actually, I would say without fear of contradiction that the budget that we have in the parliament does not address the needs for holding free, fair, and credible elections in 2024. Why do I say that? Because the total allocation, for instance, for the National Election Commission is SSP 281,814,086. This is roughly $281,000. And you know, $281,000, where also significant part of it is going to wages and salaries, and that is 179 million out of the 281 million, okay, is going for wages and salaries. Then goods and services, you have 102 million SSP. Capital expenditure is not provided for in that budget. This is the reason why I say the budget does not include elections. It's about wages and salaries. It's about goods and services. We don't see things to do with the capital expenditure, electoral commission requiring office space, requiring warehouse, electoral commission requiring
logistics,
yeah, significant logistics in terms of, for instance, if you are to deliver, to procure,
even protection and security.
Yeah, procure ballot papers and boxes from outside. And you know, these are not ordinary papers. They are papers with security features, and they are not just cheap. So you have to budget for it now in order for you to, you know, design it and then procure. You have to budget for critical logistics like vehicles. Like at the headquarters, you must have sufficient vehicles, and then those you will send to the states. For instance, if you are to deliver ballot boxes and papers to the states, for instance, in Eastern Equatoria, you have to either hire a plane or you take it by land. That means you'll use cars. And then while you are in Torit, you will also need to dispatch these ballot boxes to the 8 counties of Eastern Equatoria at once. That means you will need like 8 vehicles or even more to deliver these ballot papers, boxes, to the counties. Then from the counties, while some polling stations can be in the county headquarters, others will be at the payams. For instance, I come from Magui. You have 6 payams, and you have to deliver these ballot papers to those payams where the polling stations are at once in the morning, for instance, so that in the morning people can queue and then vote. This is just one state.
Yeah, I can see.
You can see the logistics requirements.
Yeah, I can see the challenges.
But now the money allocated for National Election Commission is only 281,000, roughly.
This is might not be even for one state. It might not be enough.
It cannot, even of for course, one state. Even hold elections for one.
And also, what is the guarantee that there are even people who are trained? Because the training of the people it has been like long time, 14 years ago or 13 years ago. It will be 14 years ago that people had election. There is no guarantee that people who were there will be there this time.
You have to train new enumerators, those who will register the voters. You must also provide for national identification certificate or card. You know, this is in the Ministry of Interior. Being counted in a census, I'm not even talking about census yet. If I tell you the figures for census,
it's already not there for
conducting census. For the permanent constitution making process, the figures is also only salaries, wages, and then goods and services. There is nothing provided for the conduct
conferences
of,
and
you know,
this.
Conferences, those, you know, experts who will draft the, you know, the constitution, the preparatory subcommittee, and so forth. This is not there.
So the whole thing is lacking the appropriate allocation. Then the question that comes in, what is the way out of this?
We in the parliament now are beginning to question the intention of the executive, why they forwarded the national budget without addressing the needs for holding elections in 2024 and the needs for having a permanent constitution in place, the needs for having census in place. And these are critical matters, pending task in the roadmap. They are actually the reason why the roadmap came up, you know. So we are left, this is now the final year of financial year. If we pass this budget, it will be 12 months to next year, June, where we should have all what I've been highlighting in place. For you now to either dissolve the government shortly, might be after 2 months, and then you have a caretaker government with the very robust, active electoral commission in place, now overseeing the conduct of elections, which will, you know, commence in December.
Honorable Nathaniel Oyet, I think when you agreed on the roadmap, you agreed on items, but from a managerial or a planning process, you always have items, but also you have to quantify and qualify the items you want to implement, and you reach the budget. Why was the budgeting separate from the roadmap itself, and you as politicians could not agree or foresee that these things will need this amount of money? That means the budget should have accompanied the roadmap itself. What happened?
Well, we in the parliament, we don't initiate the budget. It is in the executive budget.
I'm not asking you as an MP now, but I'm asking you as a member of a political party who is part of the agreement, and you might have been part of the discussions over the roadmap, and then all of you seems to be like not really paid attention to the issue of budgeting for the roadmap.
No, that is not the case. First of all the political parties are now in government. We have a government of national unity in place. If the government of national unity adopt a resolution, which of course you know they adopted by consensus or by majority, you know. If they adopt, that becomes the position of the government. But if you ask me as a member of SPLM IO, I would say we are committed to holding elections on time according to the roadmap. And that is our position in the government and also in the party. But now the government, where we are, of course we may not be the majority, has come up with a budget and sent it to the parliament, which does not address our concern as a party. And of course, we are in the parliament, our members are in the parliament. We are now raising these issues. And we are saying why the roadmap is not being respected in terms of budgeting for those activities that are required. This is not just a political party position per se. This would be the position of all the parties.
It's an operational question, right? Yeah. It's an operational and implementation question.
Yes.
Everybody must look into it, even those who drafted this budget. Maybe they will explain why it is left out, or there is something out of the budget they will do. But realistically, for even us who are lay people, we can't see how things can go.
No, this one is a major omission.
Yeah.
Which I think it is not by coincidence, but I think it is, of course, budget is an instrument of planning. They must have planned and reach a point where they said the budget for electoral commissions would be this. But what we are saying in the parliament now is why elections is not in the budget, why the permanent constitution is not in the budget, why the census is not in the budget. Why?
Okay. I think we will leave that because you are still debating, and we don't want to undermine the due process in the parliament, and we don't want to preempt on that. And of course, my last question before I go to the listeners who will be able to call you, and also Honorable Nathaniel Oyet, as we are discussing here, it is common knowledge that the main signatories are not at loggerheads security-wise, they are not fighting, they are not having skirmishes and all this. Although there are concerns about the deployment of the forces, the majority are which coming from IO, of course. There is this, how do you call, subnational violence that is going on, which is nevertheless might be undermining or threatening the peace that you have signed together. How do you feel about addressing these issues at the moment?
You know, it is unfortunate that despite the security arrangements that we put in place in the agreement, up to now we have subnational violence and skirmishes around the country. It did not really come to our mind, especially the SPLM-IO, when we were negotiating the agreement, that we would witness community turning against community or tribe turning against tribe. But this is a situation now that we have. If we had implemented the security arrangements, unified the forces and deployed them, this subnational violence or skirmishes would not be there. And also we implement disarmament of the civilian population. First of all, deployment of unified forces will guarantee law and order in those areas, will guarantee security in those areas. When you then add disarmament, where citizens now will feel confident of the security services provided by the state, then they will see no reasons for using guns and so forth. Another element, of course, is related to reconciliation and healing. You know, I talked about the social fabric being affected by the conflict. Mm. Most of the violence you see is a function of lack of reconciliation and healing among our population. Our population have lost the sense of, you know, unity, the sense of love for one another, and so forth. Even within a community, you find there are issues. There are issues. Local politics, you know, struggle for power and resources, mm-hmm. and things like that. But we have an opportunity within the agreement, and also as a government, to really do the right thing, mm-hmm. so that we stop such violence.
So, for you, the implementation of the peace agreement can be a panacea or an indirect solution to the subnational violence, because they are a product of many things lacking.
It's actually a direct solution.
Mm, a direct solution. Mm. Yes. Last question. The bigger party in the agreement has their chairperson declared or endorsed in one part of the country as the flag bearer. Now the eyes are turned to the other bigger partner in the peace agreement, which is the SPLM-IO. Is there something coming there?
Well, we, as political parties, we have our own ways of doing things. Yes, we originally are from the SPLM, and then, of course, we became SPLM, SPLM-IO, and we left the SPLM-IG. For us, we have our basic documents which guide our conduct and functions. For instance, declaration of candidates is a function of national convention, where you will have members of the party coming from all across the country for this convention, and then democratically members who want to, you know, contest will be allowed to file their, you know, interests, and then the party will then elect a flag bearer. This is how we do it in the IO, democratically. What the SPLM has done I don't know. It could be according to their rules there to, you know, seek the declaration in a rally where they can go to a place and say, so-and-so is endorsed. We have not seen contests for this, elective position. But then also, this move should be consistent with what we do in the government. Of course, the chair of the SPLM, IG, is the president of the country and the head of government. We wanted to see, this is now our perspective as IU, we wanted to see the declaration of candidature to be consistent with the allocating resources or funds for holding elections. Because you cannot declare as a candidate when in the budget for the financial year you don't have provision for elections there. You don't have provision for permanent constitution, which is one of the requirements. Even census, you don't have adequate budget there. Most of the, you know, budget lines is salaries, goods and services only. Capital expenditure does not exist. And then the security arrangement, of course, mm-hmm. is also prerequisite. Yeah. You must repatriate also people back mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm.
So for you, you are waiting for your due processes in the party until you declare who is the flag bearer or who is even running for the governorship and the state and the parliament yeah. and all that kind of
yeah,
thing. Thank you very much for that. And now it's time for the listeners to give in their calls and also their SMS. The SMS line is 09-121-77-141. And also the line to call the MTN line is 09-29-686297. And according also to our other usual Zen numbers.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
And of course, I beg the listeners to be brief and direct in their comments or in their questions. And with me in the studio is the SPLMIO Deputy Chairperson, who is also the Deputy Speaker of the National Transitional Legislative Assembly, Honorable Nathaniel Oyet, with me in the studio. If you have a question or a comment on what he's been saying, please go ahead. Hello, Nationwide.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome. Who is calling and from where?
You are connecting with Guy Tang from Unity State.
Guy from Unity State.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. So I do appreciate the topic mm-hmm. and the guest.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, I heard it from guest that is now with you in the studio.
Mm.
About the election and census. Mm. Election now, you almost now to approaching. And then I heard it now, there is no budget for it, and there is no budget for census.
Mm.
Do you think that if there is no budget for those census and election, do you think that it will progress?
Okay, good.
Yeah, that is my and then secondly,
mm-hmm.
Now the budgeting is now releasing all the year, but they do not approaching to the citizen of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they?
Okay, thank you very much, Guy from Unity there. Hello.
Hello, Radio Miraya.
Mr. Noor Imana.
I'm doing well.
John, marhabek.
بارك فيك. سؤالي للمتحدثين تمام بيتكلموا أكثر إنجليزي وفي مواطن البسيط يعني يمكن إنجليزي اللي ما بيعرفه ممكن مواطن ممكن يترجع بعربي كمان عشان الناس يفهموا والحاسي شنو في اتفاقية والجاي يبقى شنو والقدام شنو.
أصلا هو زول واحد معي في الاستوديو. I'm not sure هو لو بيقدر بيفسر كلامه ده بالعربي لكن إذا لقيت فرصة أنا برضه أفسر لك. نعم
ايوه عشان بالعربي البسيط عشان المستمع كمان يعرف اللي قاعد يحصل.
نعم شكرا كثير. شكرا جون لتعليقك هناك من واو. هلو ممكن تقفل الراديو بتاعك هناك عشان نسمع كويس بدون ايكو. الو Yes, welcome. Who is calling?
This is Isaac Man.
Isaac, welcome.
I have some two questions to our people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My first question is, all the time when the budget is really being passed, the citizen should not see the fruitful of the budget yearly. We want to know here, when the budget is passed and there is no total development that is seen by the citizen, whom are we supposed to be blaming as the citizen of this country?
Okay.
My last question is saying, with all the plans that are put now forward for the election to be taking place, are we really secure in terms of economics and also in terms of mobility in our country, so that those who have will to go and make the campaigns will be moving freely? Are we all safe in Pakistan?
Thank you very much. The question of the whether somebody should take the blame share for lack of implementation of the dividends of the budget, and also whether the situation might be convenient for mobility and campaigning when the time comes for election. Hello?
Good evening, Abdul Sadar.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Diang Deng in Wau.
Diang, welcome.
Thank you. I just want to ask the guys in the studio, because election is concerned, and some of us, sometimes when we are frustrated, we say that we better go for election, though some of the provisions of the agreement are not implemented in letter and in spirit. Because all in all, we always blame the parties in the agreement, that all of them fail to implement the agreement, because there is all of them are agreement signatories, and when you keep quiet and to look for resource agreement is implemented, we count you a failure, because we expect among themselves also to be pressuring themselves, so that presidency is pressured by parliament, section of government is playing a big role, even party in the government is playing a role, and anyway, signatory being a civil society or press-based or whoever sign agreement, women group, all of these people sign, but the signatories, all of them become quiet and they are doing nothing in agreement. They are not even keeping pressure. No one is talking again that the government has implemented. So as a South Sudanese, as a citizen, we said we better go for election, though census is not done, security arrangement is not implemented, commission for truth, healing and reconciliation is not been, the role have not been done, so we have no problem. So because we are certainly frustrated with this peace government, so because we expect, we see them like they want to sit in the offices, but they don't want to do what people want them to do. So now my question is, if the government is not able, all these things are not able to be done, as the IO party, what do you think would be a solution?
Okay.
As one party already declared themselves that they are ready for election, and the chairperson is denominated. Thank you.
Wait, we got your point there. Let me go to another one. Hello? Yes. Hello? Hello? We've lost the caller on that line. Please, if you are calling, make sure that you are not close to your radio set so that we don't get an echo here in the studio. The number again is 0929-686297, and also the the Zen lines are 0912062950. 0912062079, and you can call me on those lines so that I get you through. Let me get this from Bida from Ye. When are we seeing IO party campaigning in the states like the, what the IG has started on the other states? I think it has been answered. What will happen exactly when the time comes while the preparations are not fulfilled? This is from Abel Amiet from Kwajok. That's a question to answer. And this is Stas Garanga from Will, says, what harm could the implementation of peace agreement and reformation create? And I don't say what I mean, he's speaking about what harm. Hello? Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Who's calling?
Andrea Kamira. I'm calling from Gifayam.
Welcome, Andrea.
Okay, my question goes to Nathaniel Oyeg in the studio. There is very good three years, huh? There is very good three interim periods. And even right now, 2 years extension has been made first for the provision to be made.
Mm.
I want him in the studio to explain it.
Mm.
The very good 2 years which has been made first to go for election, they have been made to argue and with all the outstanding issue to be done in all those 2 years.
Mm.
So if they fail to make it in those 2 years, which years which they need to argue with all those things, because I need him to make a clarification on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Second, two, they boycotted so many things as per the agreement. Will they go to continue for boycotting, or they will finish all the everything right now, right away? Because all the everything they used to boycott, like right now, it is something like boycott, mm-hmm. boycotting. That is what he is now doing in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
This is my question to him, and let him make clarification to the citizens of South Sudan to let them hear more things about it, because there is 2 years interim period for coming elections, and all people are agreed to go first.
Okay. Good. Yes. Thank you there, Andrea Camilo. I'm not sure about all people are agreeing there. It depends of what the people are speaking about. And still, I have with me here Honorable Nathaniel Oyet. He's with me in the studio. Honorable Nathaniel, a lot of questions coming out there, but some of them are, you have answered them in one way or another. But let's get to the last point here. Are you playing hide and seek, so in the end you will boycott and say, no, I'm not part of it?
No. First of all, I want to thank everybody who asked their questions. I want to begin with the last.
Yeah.
Whether this is a boycott.
You are hinting.
No. Uh-huh. Nobody is boycotting or planning to boycott the elections. Actually, I would not be talking about budgeting for elections if the intention was to boycott. If you want elections, you know it is money. You have to buy the ballot papers and the boxes. You have to recruit polling staff. You have to procure logistics means, whether you want to use bus calls, whether you want to use what, depending on the plan. You must have all these things in place. I told you, elections is not an event like census. If you don't have the population census data, and then on that basis you also do the voters registration,
mm-hmm.
for you to know in this area, out of this population, these are the people who can vote according to the age. They have attained the voting age. All this, you need money. It's not that somebody
that
doesn't want.
For you, elections. It cannot be simplified.
Yeah.
There cannot be shortcut into it.
Yeah,
right?
It cannot be. Mm-hmm. Even when you want to send a kid to school, you know you must spend.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say go and study when you are not ready to, pay the fees.
And this is your answer to the person who was saying we are frustrated as citizens. Let us just go into it.
But how can you go into elections if you are not, if you have not budgeted for it?
Mm.
This is the question from the parliament, which is coming up out of the budget scrutiny, and these are very critical and pertinent questions.
Mm-hmm.
We want the executive to clarify why they allocated inadequate funds, actually only to do with the wages and salaries, goods and services. No capital expenditure. In the budget book, they can get one from the parliament or from the Ministry of Finance and go through it. So these are realities that we are talking about. It's not hide and seek or something like that.
So
and then
you have another one, because we are left with 3 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. And then do you think elections shall take place without the budget? Of course, I've just said no. How can you hold elections if you don't have the ballot papers, if you don't have the polling stations, if you don't have the requirements, leave alone other programs which are in the agreement? budget not being filed in the state and local government. Well, I don't know. This is also from the Unity State.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the function of budget implementation is with the executive. We oversee what they do. But within the budget, like what we are doing now, we ensure that there is allocation to all the states and local government.
Mm.
If they are not getting the services, they should ask the immediate public servant. We have the commissioners, we have the, you know, governors. They should ask them. But we as parliament, we allocate, approve budget, and we expect this money to leave the Minister of Finance and go to where they are supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
The same question was asked, citizens are not seeing the impact of budget.
Yeah.
Are we safe to travel during elections?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say yes or no in this particular case, because during elections there are many, many things that may mm-hmm. I mean that can happen,
mm-hmm.
but you need proper security arrangements, police and national security, those who keep law and order,
mm-hmm.
they must be in place to guarantee the security of lives and property, even of the election itself. You need the security of the electoral materials and those who are
Honorable Nathaniel, we are left with 1 minute and a half, and I leave it for you to give your final message on this discussion.
My final message is, first of all, thank you very much for hosting me and also those who ask questions. I want to reiterate that we are committed to holding elections, all right? And we are also committed to implementing the requirements of the roadmap, as is the requirements of the revitalized agreement. We want the country to be stable. We want to leave the transition so that we can have a government that is elected by the, you know, citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And that has been the Deputy Speaker of the National Transitional Legislative Assembly and also the Deputy Chairperson of the SPLM-IO, Honorable Nathaniel Oyed. He's been here with me in the studio. He's been speaking about their views as the members of Parliament and representative in the Parliament, and also as the SPLM in opposition, which is part of the agreement, revitalized agreement, on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan. So, being with me, Gabriel Shadar, on Radio Maria. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Maria.